I've never preached a series on parents with adult children and the rift and the problems that sometimes, not all the times, come up when we have adult children and maybe we don't know how to. Has this helped you, Mary? Tell us something. Say anything about it.
Well, you know, when you have a child, they don't come with an instruction booklet, you know. And then as they get older, they start getting their own ideas about things, you know. And
we're
the demographics change, you know. So
it's hard.
Yeah, it's very hard. And you love them and you don't want to offend them, but sometimes you got to wear the mom hat, you know. And so I've learned a whole lot.
How many of you? You've got adult children, and there was no problem at all with it. How many of you? No problems. Okay. All right, Johnny. Anybody that catches coons as good as you, I believe that. I appreciate you. I'm glad you're here this morning. How many of you have got adult children? I'm putting both of my hands up. Millie, I got one up for you. And you've had a little problem with that. I mean, and look, that's almost everybody. And I'm going to share again. This may be the last. I don't know what Pastor Kelly wants to do. She might have one more. But we're here to help you and serve you. And I have never preached on this subject. And I've learned more preaching on this and teaching and trying to understand some of my own feelings that I've had. Now, just tell me this here. Is it a little warm in here? Everybody's good? Would anybody mind if I put the air conditioner on 50 and turned all the fans? No, I'm just kidding. Right over there. I was, Millie and I were married, and we had plans. God blessed our plans. And right here, back in 1979, I'll be honest with you. I have so many interests, and I did back then, and I knew that Millie wanted a baby, and it's not that I didn't want, it's just that I was so busy I couldn't make up my mind whether I wanted her. I just had so many. I was a youth pastor in a youth group, and they would take her, they'd come over, and we'd put her in her wind-up swing, and boy, when that thing stopped, she would let you know. Oh, we'd almost all be asleep. The most hair-raising sound would come out of her. But I'm going to tell you something. When Dr. Zadig put this little girl in my arms, it changed my life. It really did. And I became a dad in my heart. And it's been so beautiful. It's so good to have. I have raised these two girls, this one and Kelly, that's on vacation. And I've raised three other children that were not my own. And I've enjoyed every bit of it. I enjoy it. I enjoy children, and I'm always telling them, you want to come back and live at home? We've got two empty bedrooms now. No, Dad, the subject is vast, and I think it is not addressed enough, and grown children. This message is also for grown children to try to understand what we're doing as parents, what we're trying to do, and what God wants. And the problem is sometimes things get so bad between an adult child and their parent that they don't speak for long periods of time. That's not the way it should be. But I think if we just look at the Word and get just a little bit idea what the Lord has to say about all of this, and with God's help, that's what I'm going to do this morning. And I just have a bunch of things I put together. I started on this message yesterday, and I got up this morning, and I just wasn't satisfied with what I had. And I thought to myself, So I went back at it this morning again and dug a little deeper. And Sam, pray right now. Stand up and pray and ask that this that we all get this. Amen. And the book of Genesis, chapter 2, and about verse 29, I think. Anyhow, the word says this. The word says, "For this cause shall a man leave his mother and his father and cleave to his wife." And what we begin to understand, I shared a couple, 3 weeks ago on this subject, that we train up a child in the way that they should go. And when they grow old, we hope that it all works out, that they do good. And then life happens. And then we open the door of life, and all kinds of things happen. This is in Christian homes. This is in any home. There can be problems. Or there can be, it could be just fine. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 29, you can follow there with me, and you can get it up with the, if you want, in the sound booth, but I'm not expecting you to. I'm sharing a whole different way. It says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and cleave to his wife." And what that tells us is something very important. We, basic training, they have about 8-10 weeks of basic training before, and then they go on and they're not there. Sometimes they never see their basic training instructor again. And they go on to another part of the army where they're assigned to go somewhere in the world, or maybe into war, so on and so forth. But, one of the things that we haven't been told enough is that we are given a job as parents to raise children and then give them back to God, give them to the Lord. And what I mean by that, I'm going to describe in this message, but I'm just going to, it's different. When those children are 18 years old, 19, 20, and even if they're still in your house, especially if they're gone, you can't usurp authority over them like you used to, because that causes an offense. I'm going to tell you why that causes an offense. Inside that young person that's growing up, they're wanting to take everything that you taught them and show that they, and you're one of the people they want to show that, look, I can take care of myself now. I've had, look, I'm a grown blankety blank person, and I'm going to do what I want to. I've had them tell me that. Did that go over well? No, it didn't. But you know what? It's the truth. It's the truth. It is a perversion of doctrine, a perversion of what God's want, if we continue to try to hold on and keep those kids under our thumb and make them do what we want. That's the wrong thing to do. And the more I fully understand that, the more it sets me free. Because let me tell you something, it's hard to hold on to a kid I love my children. My children love me. But because I was so strict in the house, at least for a time, each and every one of them, they didn't want to be around me for a while. And I can understand that. And that's okay. But now they all love me and come around, because I always have birthday money. You got to have something that'll help you. But it's been... it helps you to understand God after you have a child and you start raising that child. And then when that child leaves, it helps you to understand God the Father. And one of my children was leaving, and I was complaining to the Lord. I said, "Father, they're not ready." And he said, "Angelo, do you trust me?" And I said, "Well, but God, let's talk about this. They're not ready." He said, "No, Angelo, do you trust me or not?" Now, I'm going to tell you something. Whatever you do with that child between the ages of birth and when they come of age, 18, 19, 20, 20, whatever you do, that's it. And I'm telling you, I can look at what I did. And as I examine my own self and stop trying to examine everybody else, I know in my heart that not everything I did was right. Not every way that it wasn't right. Now, I was a minister. I was a Christian. I was a preacher, as a pastor, youth pastor, various different ministries. But even then, not everything I did was right. I can look back, and I'm going to tell you something that I think will help you. And I'm just, if you know in your heart that some of the things that you did with your children was wrong, you should tell them, "Look, I was wrong. I found the least thing I've heard since 1971 when I got saved. The least thing I heard was that I'm wrong and I'm sorry." People just can't say that. People can't say that. And then take it one step further. "I'm sorry and can you forgive me? Casey, I've said it to you, haven't I? And I've asked you to forgive me. See, I don't think I was perfect. There's only one perfect one that walked this earth. That was Jesus." And he said, there's only one perfect one. He talked about his Father. He said, his Father. And if you think everything that you did was right with your kids, every last thing, well, please look at that again, is all I can say. And if you know that there are things that you did that were not right, I'm asking you, and especially if you can tell there's a little distance between you and that adult child. Bless God, they're saying, "I'm not under your roof." You can't tell, you know, and they have kind of a resentment. If you know that, I promise you this, if you haven't done this, if you tell them, "Look, I was wrong, and I'm going to show what I'm talking about. Casey, you know, it was one of them fellas I didn't think you should marry, and I should have kept my feelings to myself. It didn't help you that I did that, and I was wrong. I don't know if I've ever said that before. And I'm not uncomfortable telling you in front of this group, I'm sorry, I was wrong." Can you forgive me? When was the last time you asked somebody to forgive you about anything? See, this is why we need to roll up our sleeves. Let me tell you something. The ministry, we got a lot to do. We got a lot to teach people. We have church splits all the time. By the way, Paris Christian Center has never had a church split. We've worked hard not to have that in our church, but hard feelings. We've had people leave because somebody else was here or this or that. And see, we should be different. There should be something different about believers. We should act different. And man, we sure... Oh my gosh, there's things that I've done in front of people as a Christian that I am so ashamed of. I was ashamed enough to go to the ones that I found out. And I've made it a purpose to practice saying I was wrong and saying I was sorry in life because I've seen the benefits of it. We're not going to talk all about that this morning, but I'm going to tell you, there's a benefit in being, because what you do is you minister to somebody else. When you ask somebody to forgive you, maybe you'll understand a little bit about God a little better when you ask him to forgive you. And it'll help you, I promise you. It won't hurt you in any way. Now, I'm going to share some things that I think are important. And this is what they are. And so my first question is, you might have little ones right now. My question is, who in the heck are you raising that child for? Because what I've seen in my life, it's like we're raising them for us. Yeah. And you know, that's not true. That's just, and you know how I've been in error for a long time. But it's not true. We're raising them for God. Yeah. See, that's the ultimate, that's where we're going with all of this. I swear to you, when you draw your last breath, as it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, when a person dies, their physical body goes back to the dirt, and their spirit goes back to the one that gave that, and that's the Creator God. And he'll have the final say about what happens to us. And in his program, if we want to do his program correct, when we're raising children, even if we're foster caregivers, I raised three children that were not my own, and I loved every minute of it. I love it. And they all love me. They really do. But the more that I came to this understanding, you know, the Lord said, Angela, do you trust me? And then I thought to myself, who in the heck did I think I was raising those kids for? I'm not raising them for me. I'm raising them for God. See? And what that means is the following. I'm going to read a few things that parents' duties to children, and then we'll move on from there. We're going to get to where with the children. And according to Paul's word, God's instruction, many Old Testament passages and New Testament, it is the parents' responsibility to give their children the upbringing that prepares them for living lives that are pleasing to God. That's what part of what we, and I know Trey and his parents, that they weren't even serving God when they were raising their kids. And then they got saved. And then they say, well, why is my grown child mad at me all the time? What do I do? Well, if you're still trying to lord it over them, they're just not going to take that very well. And it's not going to help what you want. So think about that. So it's our responsibility. And the younger your kids are, if anybody's hearing me today and you still got little kids, it's your responsibility to bring those kids to church faithfully and teach them Christian principles. And you can't do that if you don't know. Amen? Now, in my Wednesday night teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I'm teaching what amen means. Amen means I agree with you, so be it, that's the truth. So if I say amen, only say amen back if you agree with me. If you don't, just say, well, look at that dummy out there. What time are we getting out of here? Okay, second thing. The very core of Christian nature is this. The heart of the Father must be turned to the heart of his children in order to bring the heart of the child to the heart of the Savior. Did you know that? It's so important for a dad to have such a relationship that when they try to get saved, I saw that girl right there. She's been in this church all of her life. From the time she was this big. You mind me saying this? It won't hurt you. She stood at that door right there. What am I going to say?
Look for her daddy.
She looked for her daddy to come. He didn't come. Now he's dead. The whole church. We got problems just like the world does. Our problems are the same. Some of us, we didn't spend one moment as a Christian raising our kids. But I'm telling you, there's hope for you. But what it boils down to is this one thing, the hardest thing to do. The artist, you know what? I made it a point to learn how to say to people, look them in the eye and say, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And when you do that, you touch people's hearts. Because you know what? That's not done very often. Year after year, I stand up here, and I'm going to do it right now. And I've done this. And I'll tell you, as one of the pastors here, I don't believe everything I've done with all of you is perfectly right. I didn't do it by accident, but I'm sure that I'm not always right. And I'm asking you to forgive me. I was wrong. If there's if you need more than that from me, if you'll see me privately, I'll give you more. And please forgive me. And I mean that sincerely. And I've fashioned my heart that I know how to say I'm sorry. And I realize, man, I'm not always right. I'm just telling you the truth. And I know I'm not. And that's a good understanding to have in your heart. Let's look at another one of these. In bringing up children, parents should show no favoritism and encourage as well as correct, punish only intentional wrongdoing, and dedicate their lives in love to their children. They should be living for the children. Kelly's on vacation right now, and she wrote me a text. And this is what she said. Dad, I remember all the vacations you took us on. Thank you, Dad. Casey had a friend. And I gave Casey a horse, bought everything with it. And Casey's friend said to Casey, I wish your dad was my dad. That's my glory, see. Casey's saying what she did, remembering I didn't ask her to do that. You want to have good memories. You want to try, you know what? You can start today. You can, if there, anything needs to be changed today, if there's any parents in this room, if there's any adult children in this room, because we just have to. You know, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 says this here. It says, children, honor your mother and father, because it is the first commandment with a promise so that you'll live long in this life. And then it says, fathers, don't discourage your children by the way you treat them, because you'll live to regret that. I guarantee you, you will. And if I'm speaking in any way this morning, I'm speaking heart to heart. And I'm telling you, I'm no better than anybody else. I might be the worst dad in the room. I don't know. I could name you, each one of these kids, I could sit them down and name things that I did wrong. I could name those things. And we have a pretty good relationship. And it got better all the times when I began to realize I wasn't raising those kids for me. And if you're not raising those kids for you, stop acting like you are. And what I mean by that is when they get, there's time to let them go. Let them have their own life. Let them make their own mistakes. And you know the best thing in the world is when they come to you and they ask you, Dad, Mom, tell me, what do I do with this? I got a problem. Tell me how I can fix it. Tell me what I should do. And we really should, you know, there's been a saying in my generation, you got to stop treating your kids like they're your friends. Have you ever heard that? But let me tell you something. When your kids get older and they're fully grown, if you don't do it right, they won't be your friends. And you know what? While you're alive, they still need it. You know what they need? To trust that we can love them, that we can just love them and not make it hard. Kayla's been in this church. Kayla started attending church when she was a baby bump here in this church. Her mother brought her faithfully. And Kayla, if you know Kayla, she's the kind of kid you want to have. She's a wonderful person. But church, I want to try to persuade you in the next few minutes. Think about letting them go, think about taking inventory. And if you know there's something that you did that wasn't quite right, and you're having hard feelings with your kids, maybe you should tell them that. Maybe you should wear the bigger shoe and you take the first step toward renewal. Amen? Parents, I think, should do that. Let me move along here. I'm not going to get everything done, but I'm going to get enough of it done. Here are 15 steps that you as parents should take to lead your children to lives of godliness in Christ. First of all, dedicate your children to God at the beginning of their life. We dedicate children here all the time. We bring them to the front. Number two, teach your children to fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Teach your children to obey you through biblical discipline, not child abuse. You wouldn't believe what I've heard just in the last few weeks. Somebody, just what terrible things people are doing to each other. Terrible things. Protect your children from ungodly influences by being aware of Satan's attempts to destroy them. My children stayed over very little with anybody. You know why? They said, well, why can't I, Dad, why can't I stay over there? Well, because you're a girl and there's a boy about your age living in that house. You're not going over there. And that's the end of it. That's just the end of it. I told one of Casey's dates one time. Now, she was older. She was old enough to be dating. I said, I want you to know something. Everybody at your school thinks I came down here from Chicago and I'm hiding. I'm in the mafia. I said, if I hear that you took my daughter on that levee, I said, look at me now, son. I want you to know I'm not kidding. If I find out that you took my daughter on that levee and you did things to her you shouldn't, I'm going to find you. And when I find you, you're going to find out if I'm from the mafia or not. That date lasted 30 minutes. And he brought her right back. You know, and I've loved all my son-in-laws. I've only got one left right now. So, me and Mom, and it's been the hardest thing I've had to do, is to stay married. I'm telling you, it's hard for me. It's hard. Why? Because I'm not as good a person as others. But you know what? I had such a great wife. She helped me all she could. Make your children aware that God is always observing and evaluating what they do, think, and say. Bring your children early into a personal faith, repentance, and water baptism to Christ. Early, as early as you can. I pray over every meal still to this day. And I've taught my children, they know if we go to a restaurant, if you come over to eat or whatever, we ain't eating until we pray. And they don't have a problem with that. Establish your children in a spiritual church where God's word is proclaimed and his righteous standards honored and the Holy Spirit is manifested. Teach them the motto, I am a friend to all who fear you. Hallelujah. Encourage your children to remain separated from the world as much as you can. And the older they get, whatever they do, I mean, there's a point. You just have to let it be. You just have to let it be. Because and I'll tell you where I get that from. Here's the story of the prodigal son in the Gospel of Luke. And the younger son, who wasn't really even his, he said, give me my inheritance, Dad. I want my inheritance. And he took that inheritance and he wasted it. Because his father gave it to him. I always thought, you know, I wouldn't give that to him. I said, you know, you're going to have to wait till I can trust it. He just gave it to him. But let me tell you what happened to that boy. He got away from home. And he became poorer and poorer till he didn't have enough. He was hungry. And he came to himself, the Bible says in the King James language. And he said to himself, Even my father's slaves are doing better than I am. I'm going back. I'm going back to my father's house. And I'm going to say, Father, I'm not worthy to be called a son anymore.
Amen.
Just let me be a slave.
Amen.
See, the son gave him what the father gave him what he asked for, but the father never chased him down. He didn't send spies to find out where he was. But every day he walked out. And one day he walked out and he saw that boy coming. And he ran and embraced him. And his father said, Dad, I've wasted everything that you've given me. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just let me be a slave here, Dad. And the dad said, kill the fatted calf. For my son was dead. Many of you feel in your heart this morning, your child is just about dead to you. They're dead. You haven't heard from them. They won't speak. I'm telling you, there's hope. And if you can grab a hold of this here and pray and believe God, your children are coming back to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Instruct your children in the importance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're teaching on that right now, Wednesday nights. Teach your children that God loves them and has a specific purpose for their lives. I was talking to Ray Sherm a couple months ago. He's got the leather shop in town. He's about 94. He's still got his own shop. I said, Ray, what is the secret of long life? He said, Angelo, my secret is this, every morning to feel like you have a purpose in life still. See, to feel like you have a purpose. And I'm telling everybody in this room, one of the things the devil doesn't want you to know is that you each have a very special purpose still in this life. Instruct your children daily in God's word. The girls will tell you, my gosh, we hit Bible study every morning. Every morning. Okay? Through example and exhortation, encourage your children to live lives devoted to prayer. We prayed every day. But you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I also showed out and was mean-tempered at times in front of my children. I did things wrong. I did things wrong. And I've asked them to forgive me. Prepare your children to suffer and endure persecution because of righteousness' sake. They must know that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. That's the truth. Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Lift your children up to God by constant and earnest intercession. Pray for them. 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 Keep praying for them. Last, have such love and concern for your children that you would be willing to pour out your life as if it were a sacrifice to the Lord in order to deepen their faith and make their lives what they should be in the Lord. I agree with every one of those things. I've tried to do all of that. And like I said, I don't cut the grade every day. But see, I thank God. The word says in Hebrews 4:16, enter boldly into the throne room to find help from God. Every time I enter in there, God the Father's not looking at my righteousness. He's looking at his son at his right hand. Jesus' righteousness. That cross made you kin with God. And if you have a heartfelt change in your life because of that cross, you're a child of God. You cannot be stopped, and your sins will not be brought up to you. I want you to know that. I could go on and on and on and on. There's so much to say on this subject. I want to try to give you something for the children, the kids, the grown-up kids towards their parents. Okay? And kids, they need to honor their mother and dad, and they need to realize this here. You're your own person now, and it's not wrong to want to go a different way than your parents want you to go. Especially if you're out of their house and you're wanting to pursue a certain career or a certain this or that. I raised Evan James Lewis Don Keenan. We got him when he was a baby. I raised him for 16 years. And I think for a while there, you know, he wanted to come to Paris, so we let him. We had him in the academy, and he just wanted to be in Paris. And I let him in. And at first, there was a season when I tried to be with him and talk to him. I'd say, Evan, have I done anything wrong to offend you or hurt you? Please tell me. And he'd say, no. I just want to be alone. Then I begin to say, I remember this and that I did that I wasn't quite right. One of the things that I did that was right, well, his mom, his Nana, Millie, worked at the health department here. And when he was about 5 years old, he had to have some shots. And it was like more than one. It was like, how many shots, Millie? About 4 shots. And it was my job to bring him there and turn him over. Well, I said, hey, would you like to go see Nana at work? Yeah, Papa. I said, okay, let's go. So he'd been up there many times. I just took him to the door, and I said, Millie, you just be there and you get a hold of him. And the hero that I am, I didn't want to go in with him. And she just took him, and they gave him his shots. And when he came out like this. He got in the truck, and he said, Papa, he said, I didn't know that's what was going to happen in there. He said, I'm going to have a root beer to cover that. And then he said, Papa, I mean a large one. I gave him his large root beer. Let me ask you this. Is it not fun to raise children? Oh, it's the joy of my life. Let me tell you, I like to coon hunt. I like to fish. I like things in business. There's so many things I like, but ain't nothing like. I'll cancel all of that to be with my kids if we're going to have some kind of a fun day. Let me see here. Does anybody want to say anything? I'm going to say just a few more things. Learn constructive conflict. You can have a difference of opinion with those kids. And kids, you can have a difference of opinion with your parents. Take responsibility for the relationship. That's both of you. Both the parent and the child, the adult child. Take responsibility. It's God's will that you're together and you can flow together if possible. Accept feedback from your parents still, if you're talking on a certain subject, and certainly from your children. If they've got something they want to say to you, for God's sake, hear them out. They need to be able to do that. And for the parents and the children, respect boundaries. And I'll tell you what happens. If parents live long enough, our children are going to have to make decisions for us. You know, if we get older and older and older and older. And may our children remember us and give us the best they can of their life. And may we realize that, you know what, if you can't go to the bathroom anymore, you can't get out of the bed, you might need some kind of help. I don't know what kind, but you could sure find out. And accept the new role God has for you, children and parents. Parents of adult children. Children with adult parents. Accept that new role. Allow your children, this is so hard, it was hard for me. Allow your children to make their own choices, even if you're sure, even if you're double dog sure that they're wrong. Still, let them do it. Let them do it. You know what I found in my Christian life? I'd like to tell you, boy, man, I have really been a whammer jammer. I've made more. I got saved when I was 19. I did my best sinning after I got saved. I was just a kid when I got saved. Now, I hate to tell you that, but I'm going to tell you, every time I got a hold of myself and confessed that to the Lord, he said, Angelo, he said, I love you. I forgive you. We're going to take you from right here, and I'm going to take you. Are you ready to go the way I want you to go in this? Yes, Lord. That's how it should be with our children and us. We should not condemn them. We should say, I knew that was the wrong. No, that's you shouldn't do that. We should try to be gracious, because it's kind of a warning in a way. Man, if you're not careful, they're going to decide someday whether or not you go to a nursing home. Everybody get that? So maybe we should be a little more patient with them. Amen?
Amen.
Have you enjoyed this?
Yes,
then give Jesus a clap offering. Don't ever think that I'm done. I could go for two more hours. But I'm going to tell you this, sir. I'm going to respect. I'm glad that you came. Would you stand? Could we dismiss you? We love each and every one of you. Father, all over the room, people are standing because they love you. They care about you. Help them, Father. Help all of these. Help all of us, Lord, with our children. There's so many foster care parents and kids that's been in foster care and people, parents that's raising grandchildren and so many things that's happening, even in this little room, Father. And we're all saying, by our standing up, help us, God. We need your help. We don't want to go our own way. Cause everybody, Father, to have heard something here today that blessed and helped them. In Jesus' name, could we do something together as we dismiss? It's 12:04. Could we say the Lord's Prayer together? Let's say it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I love you, God.